Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
It's time to wake on up. Wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Shasky, Spadoni, we're just jamming here on a Wednesday, ready to rock and roll, and we're just having a conversation regarding made men. What makes a made man? Who is a made man? Is it specific to the franchise? Is it specific to the position? Is Brock Purdy a made man? For some, he might be. For others, he might not be. These are just the questions that we have as Spadoni comes walking in, smiling.
I'm doing great. I'm happy. I'm excited. We got some angry callers this morning. Halfway home here on a hump day, Joey. I don't know why everyone's so triggered these days. But that's okay. But you know why? Actually, I know why. Because sports does these things to people. You know, I know more than you. You haven't watched this. You haven't seen that. That's okay. There's no one that knows more about the sport of football than one Tony Dungy. I mean, the guy has been doing it for a very long time as a player, as a coach, as a broadcaster, as an analyst, Football Night in America, NBC, doing a long time, head coach of the Buccaneers, who the Niners are going to be playing this Sunday, and obviously a former head coach and Super Bowl champion with the Indianapolis Colts, him and Peyton Manning, one of the great quarterback head coach duos. I think of like short list of like great duos, they're on it for sure. I think of great quarterback head coach duos that had to slay the beast that is Belichick and Brady. The fact that they were able to do that, I love. Like, that was the team I was rooting for as my team wasn't doing anything in the early 2000s. I rooted heavily for those Indianapolis Colts teams, Joe. I just did.
He's always been a guy that everybody loves,
yeah.
And kind of has that warm, fuzzy family member, like senior family member feel vibe to him, if you will. Older uncle,
yeah,
grandparent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I definitely rooted for. I would agree with you.
I could sit on a couch with him and like talk like football, and he'd be like chill, and we'd be like shooting the breeze. Like, that's how I feel about,
yes,
Tony Dungy. Just super welcoming. And a guy that I don't associate with, you know, being angry and being a Bill Parcells, yelling at their players, like
he's just on the Vermeil, like, you know, Dick Vermeil, yeah, is more of a lover and
arm around,
yes,
you,
an embracer,
but even Dick,
an empower.
But even Dick Vermeil early on in those Philly days, you watched like the
Doc, spicy.
He was intense,
yeah,
very intense. I never got that. I always felt like when I saw Dungy on the sideline, calm,
yeah,
cool, collected. That's how I want my leader to be, always in total control. Andy Reid's like that too. Andy Reid gets upset occasionally, but he's very stoic. Although he's just a large person, too.
I still can't believe him and Travis Kelce chest bumping each other.
Just, I know.
It's bizarre to see.
Hey, well, clearly fired the team up. It worked. I don't know what to tell you. But it's funny because
I did fire them up.
I compare and contrast kind of Kyle Shanahan and a guy like Tony Dungy, because Kyle's very intense on those sidelines, a lot like his dad. I think he's very similar to his father, temperament-wise, very short, kind of spicy to the media a little bit, going to be a little sarcastic sometimes. But he's not a guy I also like vision like he's going to like rip into someone on the sideline. I don't think rarely has he really done that. Maybe I'm mistaken. I know Jimmy and him have had some disagreements, and there's been obviously him yelling about like the kicker on the sidelines.
I think he does it behind closed doors if he does.
Exactly.
I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm not there.
I kind of want to ask Tony whenever we get him on and just give me the thumbs up whenever we get him, guys, how he felt about what Jonathan Gannon did. Like, how would he have handled that situation?
So explain that to people that maybe don't.
So Jonathan Gannon, as you know, Joe, now the audience, because we have a smart audience, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, their running back, D. Mercado, who's their third string running back, by the way, because Benson and James Conner weren't playing. I know. That happened against the Niners. But this is a guy that should have had a 70-yard-plus touchdown, was running all the way, no one was touching him, and did what players like to do these days, I guess. Dropped the ball before the end zone. Just dropped it.
I still, for the life of me, can't understand this.
DeSean Jackson's done it. Jonathan Taylor did it last year. This is not young player specific.
No, this has been happening for two decades.
And Jonathan Gannon, he's caught on the sideline as players are huddled around DeMarcado trying to like gas him up. He went, smacked his chest plate, ripped into this guy. And you know what? I didn't have a problem with it.
Was it a punch or a smack?
I thought it was more of a smack, personally. Smacked on this guy's chest plate and said, dude, you can't be doing that. That literally costed them a win. That last
time. It might end up costing him his job.
Yes.
When it's all said and done. One of the many, you know, reasons against him.
But I want to ask Tony about that situation and how he would have handled something like that. Because I understand, like, if I was a fan of the Cardinals, as we have discussed, we've never met one. But if I was if I was a fan of the Arizona Cardinals, like I would feel Jonathan Gannon because that's how I feel as a fan. But maybe, like taking a step back, it's not the greatest look. He was fined $100,000 for that, by the way, yesterday from the league. So the league clearly had a problem with it. Joe, did you have a problem with it?
It's not youth sports, right? So I don't want to use youth or, you know, high school or college sports as some, you know, moral standard.
Right.
9 times out of 10, I don't like anyone touching anyone else.
Right.
Just in general, right? Whether it's a teammate, coach, whatever. Like, unless you have a relationship with that individual that I just won't comprehend, you really shouldn't put your hands on somebody in any situation. Right. So some people from some backgrounds are going to be triggered by that. I grew up in an era where like my dad or coaches or whatever would grab you by the helmet, you know, and like just look at me or whatever because you're acting out or whatever it is. So I just came up in a different era and like grabbing someone on the shoulder or whatever who was out of line. My particular raising, it wasn't that out of the norm. Now, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Would I want someone grabbing my kid? Hell no. Yeah. Trust me, I would not. Now, these are grown men. These are like different standards. There's millions on the line.
And to be clear, he did a smack on the chest plate of DeMarcado as he was walking away. After he was ripping into him, he did a little smack on the chest plate as he walked away.
But like, there are seminal times where when I was growing up, I had coaches pull some wild stuff. And quite frankly, and this might not be PC in this particular, I don't care. We needed it. We were out of line. We were kids that needed somebody who was like authoritative and let us know like, nah, that ain't going to fly here. And that's just the way I came up. Now, I understand the kids I'm coaching now. You just don't do that. You can't do that stuff. You can't touch nobody. You can't get in their face. You can get down to their level and talk to them. But it's just we're into a different culture and a different time. And I don't know.
Do you think he should have been fined? You think that's excessive?
Joe, I'm not sure what's right and wrong now.
Mm.
Like, I, and I'm not trying to, like, pull the steiny on you.
No, for sure.
I came up in a different era.
I like asking you to, because you are a coach. You coach youth, it's different. You're not coaching men. There is a difference between, like, coaching people that are 18 younger that aren't adults yet.
I've had some very specific problem children, and I call them children because they're all kids to me. But, like, they're like 14, 15, 16. I'm like, hey, look, dude, Like, look here, look at me. You're going to get messed up in real life if you act this way and you talk to people this way. And there is a time and a place where, depending on the relationship that you have with that family, that child, where they're at in their life, whatever it is, where actually it's better if a coach, I'm not saying get physical. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
But has a legit heart-to-heart conversation that they need so that they avoid the real life that's out there where some whack job might take them out.
Yeah. They need to be checked at a young age, kind of a thing.
I had a conversation with a parent recently where I was like, hey, look, when I was coming up, we played at the park, and somebody's older brother would, like, mess you up or fight you, or some kid from the other park would come and fight you if you talk the way you're talking. And I do believe that there is a non-consequential nature to online where people talk to each other online and don't realize in the real world, if you talk with that same language, someone's punching you in the face.
Right.
And I think that there is a group of kids growing up now who don't understand those consequences, and that kind of sucks for them because the real world, someone will do some wild stuff to you.
And this is obviously, you're taking it to that level.
You're asking about coaching. That's
no,
why
for sure, for sure. And obviously, why are we talking about this? We're efforting Tony Dungy, Hall of Fame head coach, and I just wanted to ask his opinion on what's kind of the story in the NFL right now. Is the Jonathan Gannon getting fined $100,000 for putting hands on Amari DiMarcado after he dropped the ball before the end zone, resulting basically in the Cardinals losing to the worst team in the NFL, the Tennessee Titans? And we might look back at that being the difference between keeping his job or not at the end of the year. That's why I didn't really have a problem with it. Now, I understand the retort would be, hey, you don't put your hands on another grown man. I don't care who you are.
I don't think you put your hands 9 times out of 10. It has to be a very specific circumstance. I don't think you should put your hands on anyone.
Yes.
That's not your family.
Yes.
Or whatever your particular reasons are. Like, that's just my normal setting.
Right. It's funny because I remember, who was it? Was it Texas A&M? Yeah, yeah. Jimbo Fisher. Remember this a couple years ago where he pulled that kid's helmet and said, get the hell over here?
Yep.
That was a horrible look. And there is a difference between, that's a college player, and you're supposed to be, and not, again, this is extreme, but a lot of players talk about, like, that's what you're supposed to be, not a, like, you're their dad,
mm-hmm.
but like a figure of, like, a leader of, like, hey, I'm entrusting my son to go to school here, and that's the bleep you're pulling. You're gonna grab his helmet and yell and chew him out like that. There is a line there that I was like, that's not cool. Well, like, if Jonathan Gannon did that to DiMarcado, pulled his helmet and, like, jerked his neck, that's a level of, like, that's way too far. You can't do that. Slapping on the chest plate, I think, is borderline where it's like, eh, I don't have a problem with that. That's a borderline one for me. For me.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, again, I don't know what their relationship is. I don't know what his standing is with the team. You know, is he unhinged every day? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I always want to know more context to these things.
I think we see
a lot of these videos, and we don't know exactly what leads up to them.
If Kyle Shanahan did that, how would we be talking about it, you think?
It would be so out of his character.
Right?
It would be so out of his character.
I've never seen Jonathan Gannon do that before. I've always just thought of him as like a weird coach.
I would be jarred because it's out of character for
right.
him. Be jarred big time.
And the fact that he's, and again, Jonathan Gannon is on the level of a head coach and what Kyle Shanahan has accomplished in the NFL. Absolutely not. But this is a guy that's fighting for his job right now.
Yeah.
I mean, these are two losing seasons in a row, going on a third one potentially for him. And that could have been the difference.
People respond though in different ways. Like, that's one thing that I've learned is that, and again, I'm not saying that there's a right or a wrong way to respond, but there are circumstances where there are people that respond in different ways, and sometimes banging the wall as you're talking gets their attention. And you could see that as, huh, look how out, this guy's unhinged, this coach. He kicked a, you know, a bench or whatever. But it's like, it's so hard because you don't know the relationships and you don't know where everyone's going in this. In the NFL, I would love to hear from former NFL players. I don't know where they would stand on that.
Well,
I legitimately don't know.
In hindsight, probably I should ask Baldy, but that's okay. We could always ask Baldy every single Tuesday at 7:30 here on The Roast. We could ask him whenever we get Tony Dungy on, we could ask him about it.
Ron, I would throw it in the gray area, though.
Well, Ron Rivera, former player and coach, obviously, at a high level, he spoke to Willard and Dibbs yesterday, not in regards to this per se, but, you know, kind of talking about, and we were touching on this yesterday, Joe, about whether or not coaches care about what the public thinks. Like the public image out there within a fan base, you know, within the national media, And this is what he had to say about that. A guy that's actually kind of part of the media or has been in the past. Ron Rivera on Willard and Dibbs yesterday.
Honestly, I really don't think they care. I really don't. I mean, they're going to do what they feel is best. That's what I would do in this situation. I would more than likely go back to Mac until I really truly felt, though, that Brock was 100%. You know what I'm saying? If Kyle had any inkling that Mac was going to continue to play the way he would have, I don't think he would have put Brock out there a couple weeks ago. I really don't. I know part of the reason they played him, you know, was they had him at home. It was grass. And as soon as, you know, I saw that they were playing on Thursday night and that they were playing indoors, I knew there was no way they were going to play him. You just can't, because you don't want to risk losing him for the rest of the year. So taking that approach, I would say I wouldn't play him until I knew he was 100%, or at least it was a true emergency.
And that's a former head coach in Ron Rivera that's been to a Super Bowl at Levi's Stadium when they lost to the Denver Broncos once upon a time. God, that was already a decade ago, right? Man.
It feels like a lifetime ago.
I know, that's crazy. But that's interesting. That's a guy that has been in situations like this before. You know, he's coached. Like, Ron Rivera, I'll say this. I think we like the poo-poo, like how it ended there. Maybe people don't think he's a great coach. He did take a team to the Super Bowl and had to handle a guy with a lot of personality as his quarterback and Cam Newton. Like, you see him now. Joe, you can't go without a whole show when Cam Newton's on TV without referencing the hat he's wearing.
I don't know how they dealt with him on a day-to-day basis. I find Cam Newton to be exhausting.
Well, but he was a great talent.
No
he
doubt.
Was. He was an MVP.
But Joe, he's exhausting. Would you agree he's exhausting?
Talks a lot. He does.
No. He's just his whole everything about him is exhausting.
I've always liked Cam ever since Auburn. Like, I've been a Cam Newton guy. Didn't end well in his career. His body kind of broke down off. I mean, after you take all those big hits, being that big.
I think he's part delusional too.
Well, you got to be a little bit.
No. He in particular lacks self awareness.
Well, you know, that's okay. Sometimes you got to. You know what? It probably got him to where he is today, Joe.
I'm sure it was a big part of it.
Yeah. So you gotta fake it till you make it with some stuff. And I do think he's opinionated and he has good opinions when it comes to the quarterback perspective and, you know, being a distraction, like being a backup, if whether or not he could be a backup and be a distraction, all that. But I thought it was interesting that Ron Rivera said immediately.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, they're not basing, you know, any of this on how, you know, the public thinks. The Niners fan base, you can't stick with Mac Jones, you paid Brock Purdy. They don't care, they just want to win games.
If that was the case, they would have never drafted Solomon Thomas,
exactly.
Mike McGlinchey.
Yes.
I mean, how many guys have they taken? Ricky Pearsall? Nobody had us taking Ricky Pearsall.
No one did. Baldy didn't hate the pick. Baldy always liked Ladd McConkey. So I'll give Baldy credit there. So Ron is saying, hey, you're not bringing back this guy until he's 100%. The question, Joe, is, and we talked about it yesterday with Vontae, is he ever going to be 100% this year? I don't know. Like, could someone ask Kyle Shanahan that? I don't know if he could answer it, but like, hey, Kyle, like, Is there ever going to be a point, even when he's practicing, that he can like feel like he's at 100%?
I'll pretend to be Shanahan.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever 100% in the NFL. Like, I mean, isn't that what he would say?
I guess, but like, will he ever get to a point where like there's a chance that this doesn't bother him this season? Like, can he recover to a point where...
Now that's an interesting
question.
Can
he get to a point where this thing isn't a problem and doesn't linger the rest of the year?
Well, that's where I think they're kind of between a rock and a hard place right now. I do. I do believe they're between a rock and a hard place. I think this is going to be something he's going to have to manage throughout the year. I'm talking about Brock Purdy, the toe, and whatever. And, like, there's a pain tolerance aspect to this. There's a, you know, how does it feel week to week, day to day? How much can he practice? You know, when Bonte was talking about how Mac was practicing with... You know, Kendrick Bourne and all those guys, and he had a lot of rapport with Jake Tonjes because they did a lot of work in training camp. Like, that made a lot of sense to me. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, how's Brock going to get up to speed with those guys if he's limited himself in practice over the next couple of weeks? Like, if he's good enough to go, like, I get why they would want him to go. They're just in a really tough spot. They're really tough spot.
Sway in Oakland, we'll get to you in just a second. Here's one more for Ron Rivera. Again, former... head coach of the Carolina Panthers, took them to the Super Bowl, Washington Commanders. He's he's with Cal Football, right? Is he their athletic director or general manager, right? That's what he is. He's doing at Cal Football. So good on there. Ron Rivera, Bay Area ties. Grew up in Seaside, California, actually technically Fort Ord when the Army base was down there. So 831 guy as well. Love me some Ron Rivera. Talking about quarterback controversies. Hey, you got to remember who got you there.
Well, I think the biggest thing, you know, that we always tried to fall back on was who was our starter? Who was the guy that when we got started, the guy that we could trust in and believe in? I mean, that's the hard part is that, you know, Brock is a guy that's had a lot of tremendous success for the 49ers. He's gotten them to the NFC Championship game. He's a guy that's got some history with them, who's done some great things. And I think everybody's got to remember that. I know it's been real interesting as far as they're concerned, because I think when you look what Jones has done, I mean, he is 3-0, but again, he really hasn't had as much test under fire that Brock has, you know, had for the last few years. So I just think that the one thing everybody's just got to be careful of is just remember who's started, who got them to where they are today.
That's Ron Rivera on yesterday with Willard and Dick.
I think it's good perspective. I also think that, you know, this is a complicated situation.
Very.
And I don't think anybody, like, if anyone's out there crowning Mac after three games in the sense of, like, he's the guy, you got to ditch Purdy, and what an albatross of a, like, everything's just too fast.
He throws two picks on Sunday. Call us back on Monday about that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's going to have a, well, he will. He will have a dud. Like, every quarterback has duds, but he will have a dud at some point, and... And look, if Purdy comes back and he plays lights out, he'll eventually have a dud. Yeah. That doesn't mean you automatically pivot in the other direction either. It's just, I think big picture, yeah, everyone agrees. It's Brock's team. And when Brock is right, he's the guy. I do think there's some semblance in riding the hot hand until he's not hot anymore because the season is... It's short. I know we think it's long and it's a grind because it's months long, but it's really week to week. And right now... I don't even know if Mac can play on Sunday. They haven't really even said.
That's why I said
what's going on.
Today's like the big injury report that is going to set the table all the way up till Sunday where they take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're efforting Tony Dungy. If he calls, great. If he doesn't, it's all right. We got Sway in Oakland that has a comparison for one Brock Purdy, another former athlete here in the Bay. He's comparing him to how Sway. What's up, Sway? You're on the Morning Roast.
Good morning, fellas, and thank you for coming to call. I don't want to compare apples to apples, but there's tomatoes and there's potatoes. It really becomes simple once an athlete gets a bag. Just before they get the bag, we see all the potential, and we see how wonderful they could be. But you know what? Money does something to a professional athlete that once they get the bag, I feel like we see over and over again, they just lose their spirit. And I just wish that people could really play with their heart throughout the whole season, regardless of that matter, because, you know, that's one of the things that they really get paid for. And also, we love to see that.
So, Sway, you think that Brock Purdy has lost his spirit a little bit after signing that contract?
I mean, come on. If we're going to compare injuries, I mean, Prescott just had a horrible injury, and now he's competing for the MVP. So, if you know, if your spirit is there, you got to be locked in all the way.
I'm gonna have to push back.
Thanks, Wes.
I appreciate you taking the time.
Initially, in the box, it said he was comparing him to Jordan Poole. That's what it said. It said Brock Purdy is Jordan Poole. That's what it said in my box. So maybe he's talking about Jordan Poole when he got paid. He wasn't the same.
That wasn't, I'm not.
Jordan
I'm not going to question.
Play well,
no,
because
we're not questioning.
Well, I brought that up to him. It's just like
hard
you know,
work and ethic. He's not lost his spirit. That's what are we doing?
Well, I brought this up to Sway on the phone. He's like, "Yeah, he owed Brock Purdy and Jordan Poole. They're the same. Like, because when they got the bag, they started playing poorly." And I'm like, "Well, Jordan Poole got punched." God. Remember Sway? And he's like, "Yeah, but you know, when guys get paid, they don't want to play as well." And it's like, "All right, if you want to bring the stake to air,
Shanahan punched Purdy in the locker room before week one, that's why he's playing bad."
Shanahan's expensive backpack.
Yeah, he pulled a Jonathan Gannon, smacked him on the chest plate. Come on, Brock!
What's in the water today with the callers?
Hey, you know what? I love it. It's a hump day, baby. We're feeling good.
The morning roast. We're always like this.
It's not the morning nuance.
So
morning
Purdy's
roast.
Lost his spirit? How about his foot's just a little messed up and it's compromised?
I didn't understand the comp to Dak Prescott. Like
Dak's 2-2. What?
I don't understand the comp either. Now he looks like an MVP candidate. I was like, no, he does not. Let's relax on Dak Prescott being an MVP candidate. He hasn't been the reason they're 2-2. Like, he's like not the reason like they lost all those games, but like, let's take a step back here. It's okay to like say Mac Jones is doing well, and you know what? I would like Brock to come back close to 100%. Maybe he's not going to get to 100, but as close as possible, and go from there. I think we can all agree on that, right?
Yeah, right? Again, we're just taking our time.
Take your time. That's what we're doing on the morning roast. We're going to get into something on the other side, Joe.
Oof.
Redemption. What does it mean to redeem yourself in sports, especially from the quarterback position? We have two quarterbacks going at it this Sunday that might fit that mold. We'll get into it, and it's going to be brought to you by Moderna. You know, Jonathan Kuminga is even going to stay a Warrior this season. You know, we have a quarterback controversy potentially in San Francisco. Yeah, there's nothing. Oh, and the Sharkies start tomorrow. Sharkies, and if you missed any of our interview with their head coach, Ryan Warsofsky, you can find it on the Odyssey app or on YouTube or, little birdie in my ear said we might replay it a little bit later on our show. Just take a gainer of that. Plus, you know, later on today, Joe, I don't know if you know this, Greg Cosell joining Willard and Dibbs in the 3 o'clock hour every single week. Greg Cosell knows his stuff, breaks down film. Benny, better than anyone except Baldy, who's on his level.
I want Dibbs or Mark to ask him, does he ever laugh? Like, authentically.
Oh, he laughs.
Not that fake laugh.
No,
not
that's
that fake
a real
laugh.
One. Come
what
on.
What makes him happy?
Watching film.
That's a lie. I think he watches it angry.
What? Why would he be angry watching film? He gets paid to do it.
Could you imagine him at a party? I don't think he can even enjoy himself.
No, I'll get him a Long Island iced tea. Uncle Greg is chilling.
I don't think he's drinking Long Island iced teas.
Well, not if I give him one, he will. He's going to deny me. He's more of a red wine
guy. Once you turn 30, you probably just shouldn't drink those at all.
Why not?
I mean, that's like
you're not college
like,
anymore.
When I was like 19 at the Shannon, I would drink a Long Island iced tea.
Well, you're just trying to get
economical at that age.
You're just trying to get him, you know, a little tipsy, a little topsy. How about drinking wine with Greg Cosell while we break down some film? That would be fun.
See, you got me on that, but like, you don't get tipsy off of Long Island.
See, I just don't think it's fun.
Can we bring him to?
He's very serious.
Well, no, but you've only heard him on interviews. You've never met the guy. Come on.
Get a Long Island in him.
Like, Baldy on air is one thing. We love Baldy on air. And it just so happens that he's the same in person, too. Not everyone's like that. Some people don't come off on air as they do in person, Joe.
I get asked at least three times a week, is Guru really like that off air? I'm like, actually, he is.
But don't he really like that?
I'm actually a really nice guy. I do watch sports, Filmo, I promise.
Sports, man.
Filmo, I've worked with you. You were a producer at the station. I worked with you. You know me. You know what I got. Austin, Redwood City, we'll get to you in a second. Speaking of Willard and Dibbs, I brought them up because they have John Feliciano every Tuesday on their program. John Feliciano, obviously former offensive lineman for the 49ers, played with Brock Purdy. He knows him. He was on the airwaves yesterday, Joe, and said this about the quarterback controversy.
I hope he does good this week. I hope he keeps winning for us, but there is no quarterback controversy. Brock Purdy is your starting quarterback. Get used to it. He'll be there for the next 10 years, and he'll win you a couple of Super Bowls. So it's all calm down.
What say you?
I mean, the next 10 years,
I get what he's saying. It's a play on words, so I'm not going to hold him as literal. I mean, so he'd be a 15-year quarterback for the 49ers?
Potentially.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's Hall of Fame trajectory right there.
It's just not how the league works anymore. Like, very few guys stay for 8 years on one team. It's just rare. It's just very rare. So I'm not going to bet, you know, against or for him or whatever. I would just say that, like, saying the next 10 years when he's, you know, I think he's in year four overall, he'd be a 14-year 49er. Like, I think Jerry Rice only played 15 years.
I was going to say, would that be like one of the longest 16 years with the Niners ever? You know? But he said there's just no quarterback controversy at all. I think
that aspect. Yes. All right. Sure. Yeah. I think big picture. Absolutely. I think we all agree with that. But, like, he's not healthy right now. So I think that's where I keep coming back to, like, they're in a rock and a hard place. Like, you know, how healthy can he be to be effective? I don't know what that number is.
I think we could all agree. I think we've come to this point. And I know in society today it's very difficult for all of us to agree on something. I think we're all saying, hey, Brock needs to heal up as much as possible.
Right.
And if that's 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and if that makes the difference between being 90 to 95%, you do it. Mac Jones has looked good enough to where you could afford that. And he's won enough where you could afford to do that. Now, would it be disappointing if you lost two of these next three games? Absolutely. But you know what? He'd still have a winning record as a backup, and you would take that 7 days out of the week twice on Sunday. I think we could all agree on that. Now, the question is, if they keep winning, and Mac keeps looking good, do they just keep Brock, you know, on the sidelines for a little bit and don't suit him up and say, you know what, he's healing here, he's fine, we feel good about where this team's at? Does that happen? I think that's where we're this next iteration, and it starts this Sunday, Joe. If Mac Jones looks really good and they beat this Bucs team, he's 4-0. He's 4-0. And he would have outdueled potentially, and again, we have to see, this is a hypothetical, he would have outdueled potentially the front runner for the MVP right now, as some people are saying, in Baker Mayfield. That's going to start getting, the Stokes on the Flames nationally are going to start to rise and get higher and higher and higher.
Well, you know, he's got to play well, too.
That's part right, of the, like, that so, was the hypothetical I
yeah,
said.
Yeah, like if he's not playing well and they win, again, I always go back, teams win and lose, right? So if he's not playing well and they're winning, I think it's an easy decision. If he's still playing well and they're winning, and Brock's still not hurt, well, then I think you kind of ride the hot hand as many weeks as you possibly can to get, you know, Brock Purdy more and more right. The part that we just don't know is just like where that foot's at, where that toe or whatever is at. Like, I just don't know the answer to that. You know, if they lose and he really plays well, I still think it might buy you some more time with Brock Purdy. So eventually when Brock is hopefully healthy at some point this year, he'll be back in there.
Austin in Redwood City wants to talk about Brock Purdy. 888-957-9570 is the number. John Feliciano, former Niner, said yesterday on with Willard Dibbs, there's no quarterback controversy. And that Brock, yeah, quarterback next 10 years for the 49ers. Maybe that was a little hyperbolic, but he certainly feels confident that he's the guy. There's just no question at all.
In the history of the NFL, like, how many players at quarterback stayed one place for
so hard. I would
12 or 13
that.
Or 14 years. Yeah. It is. That's all. This is where I go, like, you know, I feel like I'm turning into Steiny, the English major. Like, you guys, literal means literal. And, you know, like, I know where Feliciano was going, though. I get the sentiment of what he was saying, which is that he is the quarterback.
Austin, Redwood City. What's up, man? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, nothing much. I just want to say this. Hey, for Kyle Shanahan, for him missing on Trey Lance and then going back into picking up Matt Jones, I think that's a statement for whoever made that call and picking up on Trey Lance. With that being said, as a 49er fan, I'm grateful to be a part of seeing us having all these Super Bowl quarterbacks going to the Super Bowl, getting injured, getting replaced because you ain't the same after the injury. We've seen that with Alex Smith. We've seen it with Kaepernick. Now we've seen it with Jimmy G. Now we've seen it with Brock Purdy. And I'm going to need Brock Purdy. You know, if you want to maintain this job, I'm going to need him to hurry up and heal up quick before all our starters come back and Matt Jones start dueling with these starters. This is a problem.
Austin. You like Mac Jones a lot, huh?
It's not that I like Mac Jones. It's the play. You see it on the field. It's quick thinking, reaction, a pocket quarterback. Tom Brady was a pocket quarterback. Look how many Super Bowls he got out of that. Not even scrambling and all like that. It's just being simple. The simple things win games. With that being said, if all these starters come back and Mike Jones start dwelling with these starters, it might look like it's going to be a wrap because –
Austin, come on.
I love you,
Austin.
Keep going. It makes sense, though. If he starts dwelling with these starters, and then what? It's going to be a whole other quarterback controversy. Now Matt Jones, Brock Purdy, he's going to be on that trading block. I'm sorry.
I don't know who's trading for that contract, Austin, because that would be a lot. $200+ million. And if you're going to cut him, maybe a $90 million cap hit, that's not happening. See, this is what we're talking about. And I love you, Austin. He's a faithful caller. He calls all the shows. He's great. Three games, he's Tom Brady. Like, come on. I said they have to go to the Tom Brady kind of offense there and style. And yes, does he have some Brady qualities where he stands strong in the pocket and delivers it, and he's not very mobile like Tom? Sure. But to say after three games... He reminds you of Tom
Brady. Of the greatest quarterback ever lived.
And then my favorite part is, well, you know Tom Brady. He won some Super Bowls. Yeah, no, I didn't know that, Austin. I didn't know that Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback
ever.
He's
only in half of them.
He's only been a quarterback for, like, my entire life, basically, Tom Brady. Like, that's not what we're doing.
But I will say this. I have been thinking about this
one. I love
how he talks about it. I don't think this is controversial. So, you guys could just, I'm just gonna say this opinion. And
say it.
You tell me what you think. There was this misnomer, in my estimation, that Tom Brady would not have worked with Kyle Shanahan. And I think the majority of people who say that mean at the line of scrimmage, pre-snap. They're talking about the way Brady would like to control everything, but Kyle likes to control everything. And so maybe there'd be a conflict of interest there. All right, I'll listen to that argument. I might disagree with it. I'll listen to it. What I will not budge on is this notion that Kyle's offense doesn't fit the skill set of Tom Brady.
Stop.
Tom would have cooked
yes.
with Kyle as his OC.
This notion that Tom Brady was, other than that 07 undefeated year, where it did feel like they were a pass first, because they had Randy Moss, by the way, like one of the greatest wide receivers of all time. Other than that, they were a run first offense. Like they run, like James White, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. The Kevin Falk earlier, like they were always like a run first offense. And if they didn't have the running game, Joe, as we talked about last week, what'd they do? Little dink,
short controlled passing game.
Short controlled passing game. So yes, it would have worked in Kyle Shanahan's system.
I will go to my dying days. I'll be on the, hopefully I'm really old. I want to be over 100.
I know you want to be 100.
I want to be 100.
Yeah.
I'll be sitting on that bed, hopefully at home, saying, I'm telling you, the 2020 offseason, Tom Brady should have been a 49er. They would have won multiple Super Bowls. I'm convinced of it. I don't care how crappy the offensive line is. As we're seeing right now, if Mac can get rid of the ball and make things happen, Brady would have won us at minimum two Super Bowls had he ended up coming to the Niners instead of the Bucs.
Joe, he looked incredible. Incredible. He should have won. I still think he should have won the MVP over Aaron Rodgers that season in 2021. Dude had like 5,000 yards, 40-plus touchdowns. He was insane. They almost came back against the Rams the year the Rams ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Kittle and Gronk.
I know. Are you kidding me?
I know.
I don't know if they bring in Antonio Brown, too. But
that
maybe.
I don't know.
But like, we sleep on how stacked that team was and the fact that he played at home in that Super Bowl, and they were underdogs against Patrick Mahomes, who didn't have their starting left tackles. I know. I'm with you. I would have gotten Tom Brady. They clearly felt like they wanted to stick with Jimmy Garoppolo.
So that's like one of those.
It would have been
the move you should have made, yeah. Right? I was thinking about if you're Cleveland this morning, you're the Cleveland Browns. You should have stuck with Baker.
Oh,
I mean, you pivoted off Baker Mayfield, and then you went and got Deshaun Watson. I mean, that's got like Harbaugh Tom Sula written all over it in terms of swapping people out.
Joe, we had the conversation to start off today's show in the 6 o'clock hour about organizational failures when it comes to quarterbacks. The Cleveland Browns are the epitome of failure to put their quarterbacks in positions to succeed. They have never. And when they did do it, with Baker, mind you, when he did win a playoff game for them. No, not just beat them, destroyed them. Their division rival, the Steelers, Joe, who were the watermark for success of that division, you were able to destroy them at their home, nonetheless. And you know what? You almost beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
I know.
God, they were so close. If Henny didn't come in, Chad Henne, to seal the game with his feet, you have an opportunity to steal that game in Kansas City. And they got rid of that guy for Massage Watson. Are you kidding me?
So clearly they wish they would have hung on a little longer.
Yes.
All right.
Idiots.
I was thinking about the Niners, the Giants, and the Warriors. And you can come up with smaller examples, but for me, here are a couple guys that I thought that the Niners, Giants, and Warriors should have hung on to a little longer. I'll start with the Warriors.
Mm.
Mitch Richmond. Mitch Richmond played 3 years with the Golden State Warriors. He went on to play 7 more years in Sacramento, 3 in Washington that were very forgetful, and 1 with the Lakers where he was on the bench and won a championship. All-star, all-star, all-star. MVP candidate, all-star, all-star, all-star. 6 straight years. MVP candidate 3 of those years on the Sacramento Kings.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kings.
The Kangs.
One of the great two guards that everyone forgets about from his particular era. We didn't see Run TMC long enough. The Warriors should have hung on. The Billy Owens trade is just an all-time blunder. And I just, it frustrates me to no end.
I know. That's a good one. 888-957-9570. We can throw this out to the listeners. You know, who's the player you regret moving off too early? And it could be Bay Area, it could be your favorite sports team. I would love the involvement. Call, text, the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, 888-957-9570.
Part of why the Warrior brass feels the way that they felt over the last year, year and a half regarding Kuminga is this fear of, and I'm not saying he's going to turn into Mitch Richmond, but there's that fear of like, we're going to let go of him too quickly or too early, and he's going to mature into something else elsewhere. And for the long time, the Warriors did that with Chris Webber, and Hardaway had his best year with the Miami Heat, and Gilbert Arenas, and like, you just have millions of different guys bounced around and had career years elsewhere. But it really started, and I know it happened before that, you know, when they got rid of other guys, you know, Robert Parrish being one of them.
Right.
They had a long line of guys that they just got rid of too quickly and were the wrong guy to get rid of. But for me, like, Mitch Richmond is one of the seminal guys that, like, I can't believe we got rid of this guy.
I think a lot of Warriors fans would say, at least my age too, after the We Believe year, Baron Davis.
Well, he chose to leave, though.
I know, but I feel like people are a free agent. They always, and that's a little different in this conversation. I get it. He chose to leave, but that's the guy where it's like, damn.
No, I'm with
you. We could have kept him somehow, some way.
If he stays, you probably don't have Curry.
And this, and in this one, it's just, you know, players you regret moving off. So the organization moved off. But that's one I always think about too. Where Warriors fans are like, damn, we've kept Barron.
How many people right now wish that they would have just kept Jordan Poole?
I think a lot. Sam literally just raised his hand in the back. He's like, me?
Really?
I volunteer his tribute, yes.
Is that the big one for you, for the Warriors?
Yep, Sam's screening a call right now. But yeah, that's a big one for a lot of Warriors fans. No, Carter's saying no.
Who is it for you of the Warriors, Carter?
For the Warriors? Gilbert Arenas.
Mm. Gilbert Arenas? He left too, though.
He left.
You know, he signed a big deal. There was it's a very specific rule that actually became like the Gilbert rule about second rounders being able to get extended.
But he signed it because we didn't have the financial means to pay him.
Exactly.
Which is kind of different.
Well, it's just...
There's other ones that think, like, you know, Iggy towards the end when they traded him. People thought they should have kept Iguodala. I know he ended up coming back and had that famous meme with Andrew Wiggins. But Giants, I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot for the Niners. There's everywhere.
The Giants.
Sharks, even. There's a lot of the Sharks. You guys think people want to stick to Pavelski.
Jason Richardson would be another one, just because I think
it was one of the worst trades in
War history. Retired a Warrior.
One of the worst trades. They couldn't afford everyone,
that's
too,
a good
though.
One.
That, see, that there was an element of finances on that team that it's so nuanced. They extended Bijans, which made total sense back then, and they extended Monte, which made total sense back then, and you needed to free up room for Monte because he took off. See, people forget he broke his wrist in the We Believe year, Jason, and he missed time. And Monte, like, ascended. And Bijans ascended. I know, it seems so dumb, like, a year later. Bijans was good, though. Jeff Kent, I don't know what ended up happening with the Giants. He went on to hit 125 more home runs after leaving the Giants. Will Clark went on to hit like 80 more home runs.
There's a lot of Giants
after
here.
Leaving the Giants.
Yeah.
The first one that popped in my mind for the Giants, this is just where my head goes, it's Joe Nathan.
Oh, yeah.
When you think of all the closer issues they had for years and years.
It worked
that
out.
That one, I mean, it's probably not the biggest one, but that's always the one that for me jumps up.
That's a good one, though,
Francisco
Sam.
Francisco Liriano.
More in more recent memory, I mean, Carlos Rodon. Kevin Gosman.
There's been a lot of
those
like
guys
one-year
pitching
deals
in the playoffs currently.
I would agree.
Right? Like, those ones were tough.
You know, like, Will Clark was a guy that just, still to this day, it's like, really? Austin Slater was a Giant longer than Will Clark? How is that even possible?
Look, remember, they're forever Giants, so all these guys will be forever
and then
Giants.
For the Niners, I mean, look, there are some people that thought they got rid of Joe Montana too soon. But I think for me, the number one of all the Niners, and there's many little ones, you know, just so many little ones over the years that, like, should have brought back Randy Moss in 2013, for example. Mm. One more year. But Charles Haley's the number one.
Oh,
should have hung on to him, found a way to figure it out. And look, he was probably done with the Niners, and they were done with him. But the fact he traded him to the freaking Cowboys, and they went on to win three out of the next four Super Bowls, it's...
I know.
35 sacks with them. And that's the regular season. These playoffs are even better.
People always bring up this name. We're seeing on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. 888-957-9570. Who is the player you regret moving off too early? DeForest Buckner.
That's
There's
a good
lot
one.
Of DeForest Buckner's
That's a
here.
Really good one.
If they had just kept him, who knows? Maybe he makes a play in the Super Bowl, then you win.
There's
right?
an alternate universe where it's like Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Just stick with Jim Harbaugh.
Doesn't have to be player. Could be coach. Absolutely.
I bet if you stuck with Jim Harbaugh longer, Kaepernick might have like figured it out a little better.
There's still fans that are still clinging to Bruce Bochy. And they're saying, hey, you should have. Bochy should have been going out on his own terms.
Sure.
A lot of Giants fans feel that way.
Sure. I'll listen to that.
Let's go to Vern in West Oakland. He has a name
what's
for
up,
you,
Vern?
Joe. What's up, Vern?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Yeah, man, it was really tough losing Bernard King back in the day, man, to the Knicks.
Oh, you there, Vern? Vern!
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, there you go. Okay, why was it so hard for you, Vern, to lose Bernard King?
Bernard was just a prolific scorer. I mean, you couldn't stop the kid. Some nights he would just light you up. And when he went to the Knicks, he just became all world, man.
Back to back all stars, like averaging like 25 a game. He got hurt, and so it like hit his trajectory.
Right.
Not to use the same word, but his trajectory as a player was stymied like crazy because of the injury. But he was a legend in New York.
And
Bernard King was the man before Patrick Ewing,
right? And still became a and it's a Basketball Hall of Fame. So it takes his years at Tennessee into account too. But he was a Hall of Famer. But again, what could have been with the Warriors? There's a lot of those here. And players, you know, you regret moving off too early. 888-957-9570 is the number. And sometimes it's not even, you know, it's the organization that moves off of them. So it feels like you got cheated. I know there's a lot of Raider fans chiming around, like Khalil Mack. Like, should have been a Raider forever. It's not their fault.
It's a great call.
He should have kept him. He's going to be a Hall of Famer.
It's great.
But the fact that he was going to be he's a Bear now and a Charger, it's like similar, not saying he's not Charles Haley level, obviously. He meant the player. It's just like, damn, that was a homegrown guy and you couldn't keep him? That's why I feel like DeForest Buckner is a good one too. It's like, damn, we could have kept that guy? And it's like Javon Kinlaw, and Kinlaw was just, Harbaugh's a good one. Andy Reid for the Eagles? Do they still feel that way?
I think he had to go, though.
Because they won with Peterson and now Sirianni, so they feel vindicated, right?
I guess.
I always like to do national ones. It's interesting, right? The players nationally that, you know, what could have been. Patriots fans, they, like, Tom Brady won after you guys. How do you feel about that? I know he won six there. He won six!
Brady should have stayed forever.
He should have been forever a Patriot.
It's crazy.
Forever. Man. I love this conversation.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
I know he wanted to leave.
He wanted to. I'm very curious about how Kevin Durant's going to look with the Rockets.
I'll let you know how it's going to look. It's going to look good, and then he's going to get hurt, and then it's going to look good again.
Well, we were talking.
He get hurt again.
We were talking about earlier.
He's old.
With the playoff performers, you know, who needs to exercise the playoff demons. I mean, Kevin Durant's legacy is cemented. He's a two-time finals MVP. He's won two championships. But since the Warriors, I think if there's a guy in the league that could do a lot for his legacy going forward, if he was able to win with the Houston Rockets, what that would do for his career, winning a championship with them as like one of the main pieces, be huge. You don't think so?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess on some level, yes, but like, he's kind of seen as like a locust. He goes from spot to spot to spot to spot. Like, in a way, he's almost like the Timu LeBron.
Yeah, I do feel like the organizations, getting back to the organizations, letting the player down more in these situations. Like the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, chose those spots.
But
who chooses to be a net?
In fairness, he was a foot, like a half inch away from, you know, beating.
From what? The Eastern Conference Finals?
Which they would have beaten the Hawks.
Well, absolutely. They did. Okay.
They would have.
He chose to team up with Kyrie at a very silly time.
They were close. They were close. Tony Q and Hayward. What's up, Tony Q?
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
What's up?
First-time caller, long-time listener. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing great, man. It's a hump day.
Yeah, right? So I'm a Minnesota fan. All Minnesota teams, Vikings, Twins, and the Timberwolves.
What a tough life.
It reminds me. I know. Tell me about it.
My boy Linsmeyer is a big Minnesota guy, and we talk about it all the time. Like, I'm dead serious.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I've been hurting all my life with all those missed kicks and, yeah, tell me about it. So the one play that comes to my mind, I will say David Ortiz leaving the Minnesota Twins. And it still stings.
That's a really good one, actually.
Because they just released him.
Because if you ask most people, like just in casuals, they wouldn't even know that David Ortiz played on the Minnesota Twins.
I know. I agree
just
with that.
Just like Manny Ramirez played on the Cleveland Indians at the time.
Well, that team was so sad.
You would have remembered. But,
that team was so sad.
But everyone fell in with the Boston Red Sox.
I know.
Johnny Damon, right?
So
another guy.
Again, not to show my own age, but the Indians were a very popular team because of the movie Major League.
Oh, I know.
And so it was Tomei, it was the Alomar brothers, it was Carlos Baerga, it was Manny Ramirez, and then Rock and Jock. I'm dating myself so much. MTV used to have this thing called Rock and Jock, and they did like a softball thing. And Jack McDowell used to always like dress up goofy and be in it. He was a pitcher for them. I don't know. There was always this weird pop culture thing with the Cleveland Indians in the 90s.
By the way, in a few minutes, Joe, we're going to replay our interview that we had with the head coach of the San Jose Sharks who start their season tomorrow. Ryan Warsawski here in a few minutes. But if you want to squeeze in here, you know, the players you regret moving off in your fandom, 888-957-9570. It could be Minnesota. We just got a Minnesota fan calling.
That's incredible.
It could be anyone.
But you're right. David, I do agree with you. I don't think a lot of people know that David Ortiz was a twin.
Just like a lot of people don't realize that Shaquille O'Neal Wasn't Orlando Magic?
I know.
Like, that's one right there. Steve Young a buck.
And a USFL player.
There's a lot of these. Hell, who was it? My guy, also a USFL player.
Reggie White?
No, quarterback for the Bills. Scott, Jim Kelly, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, right
San
there.
San Antonio Express.
San Antonio Express. It's crazy. Let's squeeze in a couple of these calls. Pat in Foster City. What's up, Pat?
What's up, Pat?
Hey, talking about the NBA, I really echo the earlier caller regarding Bernard King. When I moved from Chicago, and where I watched a lot of NBA basketball, and came out here, and at that back in those days, I had second row seats, and I was up close to the action. And Bernard King was just unstoppable. It was like he was incredibly physical, unbelievable force coming to the basket. He was just absolutely amazing. Still stands out in my mind after all these years. But so I think that's a really good call. He was just phenomenally talented. But the other one, maybe someone else mentioned this, but how about we get Joe B. Carroll and we give up Robert Parrish and the draft rights to McHale? How about that one?
One of the worst moves
in any
sport ever. It really is. I brought up the Robert Parrish one. They had Robert Parrish. He was a young player. See, like, most people don't know Robert Parrish played for the Warriors. I believe he also, like, finished on the Bulls or something. It was very weird. But Robert Parrish, the Chief was his nickname. Robert Parrish was awesome. But with the Warriors, he was kind of like, eh. And they traded for Joe Bailey. My dad called him Joe Barely Cares.
Right.
But it was Joe Barry Carroll. Yeah. And it ended up being one of the worst trades ever. And not only did they trade away Robert Parrish, they traded away the draft rights.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.